On today's episode of Invigorate Your Business with George Strombolis, I sit down with an international music pop star by the name of Evagelia. She is absolutely killing it. And if you search up her name on Spotify, you will see tens of millions of downloads for her music. She keeps pumping out hit after hit after hit. She's an incredible performer, and I got the chance to see her a few weeks ago and just put on a crazy show for thousands of people. She also performed in front of a sold out Barclays Center crowd in Brooklyn, New York, and she's just an all around good person that is doing incredible things. We're gonna talk about the business of music and what it means to be an artist in this world, which I know nothing about. And we're gonna talk about just random great stuff in this episode. So enjoy it, starting now. My name is George Strombolis, and I'm extremely passionate about traveling the world, meeting new people, and learning about new businesses. Join me as I sit down with other entrepreneurs to learn about their journeys. This episode of Invigorate Your Business starts now. So I'm excited. I'm sitting with an international pop music star, right? Like, you're just climbing, climbing, climbing. I'm familiar with you for the last couple years, right? I would see you in the Greek communities online. You would see like clips and be like, oh, okay. Like, I've never actually gone to Spotify until recently, but I'd always hear the clips. I'm like, wow, it's just gets in your head, right? Just amazing stuff.
Thank you.
And then you would see people that I'm familiar with in the Greek community, you know, posting, and you go there. But up until like last month at FDF, when we're going to jump into that, is I got to see you perform live because my 8-year-old daughter wanted to go and see you, and it was just amazing.
So much fun.
And again, I don't mean this. I went in there just like, cool. It's about the kids. It's about the community. But holy shit, did you put on a show?
Thank you.
It was like, and again, I was on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. My daughter's front row, like screaming her head off. And you're just like, the way you just commanded the stage, right? There were people in the back, and then you were going in the back, and the songs, it was just such a good vibe.
Thank you.
And I think you overshadowed the mainliner, and we won't name who, but it was just like, it was awesome, right? So that was really cool. Talk to me in general, just, we'll jump in FDF, right? Like, what does that mean just from a, you know, cultural, everyone coming together and then being there?
FDF was so cool for me. I grew up in a Greek community in New Jersey, super involved. You know, was in Goya in my church, St. George Piscataway. And also a part of the Pan-Cretan Association. My dad was heavily involved, cultural chairperson, bringing over tons of musicians, plays, dancers, all sorts of things. They'd come through, stay at my house.
No way.
So I grew up very, very involved. I grew up Greek dancing, especially Cretan dancing, at my sílogo, since I was 4 years old. And for me, Greek dancing was always something that came naturally in a way. It was just like, it always felt like something I was meant to do and something I loved doing, always enjoyed doing, and always would look forward to all my summers in Crete, going to the panigiria, the gledia, those parties, and just dancing the entire time.
Right.
Like, no sitting, like, best exercise ever.
Till sunrise.
Until sunrise. Yeah. And my yaya was always so proud of that. And she'd always be like, oh, choreps brusta, ekanes tis figuras sou, you know? And I'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I did. I dedicated that dance to you. Like, we had, like, just such a great, I had this, grew up with such a strong love for my Greek heritage and my culture and the dances. And I never got to experience something like FDF though. And everybody told me, like, you have no idea what you're about to get yourself into. Like, FDF is insane.
But wait, even growing up in New Jersey, you never participated in FDF?
No.
No, okay.
No, it wasn't. I also think you mentioned your daughter played soccer. By the time I got to high school, soccer really was like, I had to take up all my time. Yep. So then I was no longer dancing in the dance group. I was just dancing in my life
all the time.
You know? So by the time, I think my church or my sílogo had gone to FDF, I was no longer like deeply involved,
yep.
But I heard about it. I think they like got an award that year that they went. We were pretty good. but it was also mainly like a West Coast, Midwest kind of thing. And, it just wasn't something that something I heard about, knew about, thought was cool, but never got the opportunity to be involved in.
Right.
So then when this opportunity came up, and I was like, oh, a Greek dance festival with like Greek American youth that love Greek dancing as much as I do, this is going to be so much fun.
And compete.
Yeah, yeah. And like, they're all there. And they told me, they're like, they're going to be dancing up till 5 a.m. The musicians are going to be playing in the lobbies. And I was like, whoa.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And because I experienced something similar to like the Cretan conventions, and we would dance all through the night. But this was on a whole other level, because the lobby at like 5 a.m., you got one side, the musicians playing like stuff from Thraki, and the other side, they're playing Kritika, and like in the middle, they're playing something else with Klarina, and everybody's dancing and having a good time. And it's just so passionate.
Insane. Yeah.
It was insane.
It was insane. I grew up in Canada.
It was insane.
Right. No, but then I'm 42. And when I would see guys my age dancing, and they knew 18 different dances, when I grew up, like, it was embarrassing to go do it. I still did it because I had to do it.
Yeah.
But like, kind of envious now, where I'm like, man, they know all
it's
these
so
dances.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
And now it's like, it's cool.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love embracing that and making cool. Because, I mean, to be honest, I remember when I danced at my church festival, and I had American friends come. This was when I was younger, though. And I was a little bit like, ooh, I don't know what they're going to think about these crazy outfits and this music that we're going to wear. And, you know, it's not something like when you're growing up and, you know, you're worrying about what other people think, especially in like middle school, you can be like embarrassed just because it's something different. But I think with FDF, what's really cool is it makes it really cool to love your culture and to show it off.
Absolutely.
And I think anybody who's not Greek who would show up there, they'd be like, this is awesome
party,
like, this is so cool.
Yeah. And then for the non-Greek, we have a lot of non-Greek listeners. FDF is Folk Dance Festival.
Yes.
Every year, 4,000 people were there this year.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. Anaheim Marriott was taken over.
Yeah. So then the night of the concert,
yes,
I got to perform the Saturday night, and you know, it's like no joke. Like, they're the screens, they had the cameraman. I was like,
amazing.
Oh, I get
production
to play with the cameraman.
Oh, yeah.
Here, this is fun. So you saw, I was like looking into
notch
the camera.
Yes.
Like, you know, going down the, I saw that they split the room with 21 and up, and then under 21.
Yeah.
And they split it with two like long tables, which created this wide, not wide, but a hallway for me to walk through.
So
I saw that. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going down there. Cause I love to go into the crowd whenever possible. So going down there, and I got to high five your daughter.
Yeah. Was that premeditated? Like, did you know before the show that I'm going to do this, or did it just
come? I always love, I kind of scope stuff out before to see like, okay, if I didn't want to go into the crowd, how can it happen? It's something that I love to do. And it's always like unexpected when it happens, and you kind of create this moment and this energy with the people.
Right.
I love to get more connected. But it was a big stage. So I was like, and everybody was, you know, they had barriers.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, I don't know if I can go into the crowd. But then I saw that, and like, I asked production, I was like, can I go through that? Can I just walk down and go through that? And they said, yeah. And so it's so funny, in some of the videos, the one I post, you see like the security walking behind me and like making sure things are, it was wild.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
It was so cool. Like, I know after that, the next day, everyone was talking about just the energy, the performance, and it's just cool to see. So let's take a step back, right? You are a Sony Germany recording artist, right?
Sony Germany, and now most recently Epic Records in the US.
Are you serious?
Serious.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Those are like the names, right? They're huge names.
Crazy.
So this is a business podcast. We're going to talk culture, but how does that even happen? Let's rewind it back to New Jersey. I know you've said your story countless times on different podcasts and that, but like, for our listeners, give us a background. Like, how did you go from birth to here? You know?
In how much time? No,
just let's fast forward to like 10 years old onward.
So I was born. No. But we do actually have to start from birth. I was born in New Jersey. My dad's from Crete. My mom's Italian American. And my dad came over from Crete in his 30s. So he's like very Cretan and like Greek. Off the boat. So I'm first generation.
Yep.
And basically, I was born in Jersey, and 1 month later, I went to Crete and met my family. And that was, and then I also got baptized on a monastery in Crete. So I always joke around, people are like, oh, were you born in Greece? I was like, not born, but I was baptized on a monastery on the mountains of Crete. So yeah. That's pretty, pretty legit.
Yep.
And basically every summer for the rest of my life, like 3 to 4 months, like not just like, you know, 4 weeks, like I would miss the last days of school, miss the first days of school and like be in Greece, with my family and with my yaya on the farm.
Amazing.
My yaya had a farm, like olive oil, you know, olive groves, sheep, chickens, like everything. So I just kind of learned the simple life and simple way of living. And we had Paliochora, a really amazing, beautiful beach town, 10 minutes away. So I'd go to the beach and just hang out with my friends all night. And it was
just the best time.
Like
yeah.
Other kids, like American kids would go to camp. Like yeah. I went to Camp Kriti, you know?
The best times, the lessons, like you just appreciate stuff.
It was amazing. And so for me, Greek was my first language.
Yep.
I learned Greek first and then English kind of came simultaneously as I went to preschool and everything just kind of, you know, when you're a kid, you're a sponge. Yeah. It's so...
How does that work? Sorry. How does that work having... So an Italian, American mother, Catholic, stubborn Greek by default father, yeah, right? Like how do you go to Greece for those months and then the language?
Well, my mom was not Catholic. They weren't the most religious. So that was pretty easy for her. She converted to Greek Orthodox. She was like my real life, my big fat Greek wedding.
Perfect.
She converted to Greek Orthodox. She learned Greek. She learned the languages. Like my mom speaks better Greek than some Greek Americans that I know. Like she can carry a conversation. She can read and write up to a certain extent as well. So my mom was very, very, very supportive of the culture. The sad thing about my Italian side, this is a bit of a side note, but it was my great grandfather that came here. So by the time it got to my mom, the Italian language was lost and it wasn't as strong of a you know cultural grab, whereas with my dad it was like he was from Greece whole family still in Greece, you know. And so for me to get in touch with my Italian side, I took Italian in middle school, and I always feel like, you know, an attachment to my Italian side too, but I have to like dig deeper for it.
Absolutely.
To find it. But yeah, so, and like we said before, my dad was involved in the Pan-Cretan Association, or involved in the church community and everything, so I was just always surrounded by a love for my culture and keeping it alive. And I was always like the Greek girl. My friends would come over, like we didn't have normal snacks.
Right.
We'd have bread and olive oil. Like that's at my house, you know?
What was the makeup of your friends? Were it just white American kids? Were there...
It was pretty diverse. I had Italian friends, Puerto Rican. A lot of Italian Americans, because New Jersey, a lot of Italian Americans.
Yeah. Bridgewater?
Bridgewater, yeah. And yeah, it was definitely a mix, Asian, Indian. That was what was awesome about, like, people in Greece often ask me, like, oh, what was it like? I was like, I love growing up in a diverse community.
Absolutely.
Like, I was a Greek girl, but, like, the girl next to me was a Sicilian girl, and the other girl next to me was... you know, Bangladesh, and it's just like...
It's magical.
And we're all just sharing our culture and appreciating it. I'm all about that.
Yep.
So then fast forward, soccer was always my love. I did love music. I loved watching like American Idol with my dad and like guessing who would win. Like we predicted Carrie Underwood would win. Like when we watched, we're like, that girl's got it. Like it was just such a funny thing. And I would always like imagine like, oh, I wonder what Simon Cowell would think if I like, you know, went up there and sang.
Were you singing at that time when you were watching?
I was singing, but I was singing more like performing with my friends in middle school. And like, I think fifth grade, I made like a girl band called like Heart's Desire. And I would write the songs and we'd make choreography with like two of my friends.
I think we took
band cover photos on like Polaroids. I need to find these.
That's amazing.
So it was always like, you know, grew up on the Spice Girls, Britney Spears, like these pop icon.
Yep.
And I was Britney Spears for Halloween 1 year, like with her little microphone and
pre-emotional
breakdown, God bless.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just something I always dreamed about and always like fantasized about.
Sure.
And while soccer was dominant. Yeah, I played like travel soccer. My dad was my coach. I would practice in the backyard.
That's awesome.
Every day, like, you know, the headers, the juggling, like the strategy, like everything was super, super deep. And then fast forward into high school. At that point, I'm not really as vocal anymore on how much I'd like to sing. It was more of like a private experience for me. Like I discovered this artist, Ingrid Michaelson, on YouTube, and a lot of her music at the time was just so simple, like just on a ukulele or just on a guitar. And it felt accessible for me. And I was like, ah, I love this. I love this singer-songwriter thing. I really like want to do this. But again, soccer was still the main focus. Sure. And then I tore my ACL, which was
in high school.
I was 16.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Pre-torn ACL, what were your aspirations for soccer? Like US women's soccer team? Like what were you?
They weren't that high, but they were like college. Yep. At some level, you know, to play in college.
Okay. Yeah.
And do some sort of scholarship or something. And, yeah, cause I was playing in like pretty high level travel teams in high school.
That's awesome.
And it was like my life. Like I was the soccer player, Greek soccer player girl, you know?
And it's not easy. Like it's a cutthroat. It's
intense.
Yes. In this country, women's soccer
is super intense. Yes. That's why I would always go to Greece and I'm the only girl that would play. But I think part of what made me tough when I would come back and play in the US is that I played with all those boys in Greece barefoot on gravel. Yeah. And they were like, oh my God, like you play, or like I'd like head the ball and they'd be like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, you guys, like just cause I'm a girl doesn't mean like I'm fine. Yeah. You can pass me the ball. Or that's the best amazing. Was like when I'd like trap it like on my chest up here.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm like, you guys, there's a difference. It's here. Okay. Yes. Like it was just so funny. Like anything I would do that was like pretty normal, they'd be like, oh, are you okay? The poor delicate flower.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but then they realized, they were like, oh, I want her on my team.
Right.
So that was always a lot of fun. I also kind of always loved that. Like, right. I love the idea of like proving, you know, the boys wrong, of just like, yeah, anything boys can do, girls can do better. Like, that was just kind of always my vibe.
That didn't mean much to me pre having three daughters.
Yeah,
and I know that sounds chauvinistic. I don't mean it to be.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, okay. I mean, it's a quality. And then I had daughters. I'm like, oh no, it's not.
Yeah.
Right. You just see things differently.
You
now
see things
like,
differently. Yeah, you absolutely. See things differently, and you want her to go out there and like, if it's all a whole group of boys, to be like, yeah, I'm gonna play.
Go. Don't cry. Just let's do this.
Just play.
Absolutely.
Because then they just realize that you're actually just a human and you all can play soccer together. Like,
for
it's
sure.
not that big of a deal.
Absolutely.
You know? But yeah, how do we...
So you tore your ACL.
So, yes, I tore my ACL. I was absolutely devastated.
Jeez.
I was devastated.
Was that... It's like, if you're a professional athlete, you tear your ACL, it's a year plus recovery and your career is pretty
like,
much done.
Yeah, it was like... And I had just joined this new team that I was so excited about. And it was rough.
Yeah.
It was really, really rough. And a lot of tears. And I got the surgery and I was kind of stuck at home. But that's also when I like found some time to like learn ukulele and learn guitar off of YouTube. And I started exploring and like kind of writing a little bit on my own. And again, it was kind of more like, I don't want to say totally secret. Like my close friends knew I really liked to sing. But it wasn't really like a known thing.
Right. Were you performing for your friends? Like, would they hear?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But honestly, not really.
Yeah.
And like, I even remember it was like something I really wanted to do. I remember for eighth grade, I wanted to audition for the talent show. And I signed up to audition and I was about to walk into the audition. And then I walked out because I was too nervous and too scared to like do it publicly. So fast forward, I'm at a party in high school. It's a senior year. And my friend pulls out her guitar and we're like sitting around a fire and she's like, she's playing and I start singing along. And she was like, you're good.
Where did this come from?
Yeah,
right?
Like, wait a second. Do you want to start a band? I was like, I would love nothing more than to start a band.
She didn't finish her sentence.
Yeah,
you're
just
like,
let's do it. So we started a band started writing music. And
what was the name of
the
band?
It was me. The band was Jarrett's Coastline because our friend Jarrett was there when we were trying to figure out the name, and we opened a we were looking through the dictionary, so we thought it would be cool to like find a cool word, and we liked coastline. We're like,
I like that. It's better
Jarrett's
than hairline.
Coastline. Yeah, so we were Jarrett's Coastline, pretty random, but
cool.
It was her on guitar, me singing, and another friend on cello. And we auditioned for Battle of the Bands, and I tanked. got nervous and I sang off key and we didn't make it. And I was so upset. And I remember crying that day because we were ready. Like we wrote the song, like everything was great, but I just got, I don't know what happened to me mentally that day. And then we were like, you know what? We didn't work this hard for nothing. We wrote all these songs. So we invited all our friends to my friend's house and we got a PA system and we had our own concert.
Get out of here.
And we had our own concert and that was kind of how, and we had our own concert and I felt like, okay, I got to redeem myself. Then I was walking through the high school and I saw this poster and it said, can you sing in a different language? Do you want to be part of the, or do a talent or show something for your culture? Do you want to do the cultural diversity show? And I was like, well, I actually just learned this song. What song was it? Manos Loizos, Tocordeon. And I had just learned it to perform it for Goya.
Oh, wow.
Actually, for a church youth group. And I was like, actually, I do know how to play a song and sing it in Greek. I'm going to audition for this. And I auditioned. And then I performed in front of the entire student body. So like all 600 like seniors, juniors.
In Greek.
In Greek. And it was just me. I remember I was like a little nervous, like the mic wasn't like, it was just kind of this like very, like if it was in a movie, it would be this like awkward, like coming of age thing, you know, and I'm waiting and like the girls being like, ugh, and I'm just going to be good. You know what I mean? Like this, that was like the whole vibe. But then it was set up. It was just a spotlight. And then I sang the song in Greek and it was dead silent while I was performing. And at the end, you know, you got like the marry me like kind of things. And I was like, it was my first time really feeling, maybe second, because when we did that show, it was, I was just like, this is special. And this felt really good. And I really liked doing this. And then I continued through.
And that was like senior year high school?
Senior year high school.
Okay.
And so like, yeah, like singing in Greek and performing for a full American audience was the first time I felt truly myself in a way.
Why performing. Though? Like, that's interesting. Is it, so you're Greek, when you speak Greek, I'm like, oh, she's off the boat. She's like, your Greek is, can't be better, right? Accent, pronunciation, everything. Was it like a safe zone for you? Like,
maybe. I think it was a safe zone and something like nobody else was doing.
Right.
You know, and it was just like,
it's your niche.
It was my, and it was just this, like, I knew that song inside and out. I was like ready to do it. And it just felt right and it just felt good. And then fast forward through college, I studied at Rutgers University.
Yep.
I have my undergrad in political science and my master's is in elementary special education.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look at you. That's
I got educated.
Yeah,
educated. And my dad would say, like, Evangelia, like, music is great, but it's a hobby.
Yep.
Get a job that you like. And if I wasn't doing music, teaching is my other passion.
Teaching.
Yes. So studied that. But while I was now at Rutgers, I was now like, I liked performing. I had done it and now I wanted to keep doing it. So I was doing open mic nights. I was writing songs. I had my first like falling in love heartbreak stuff. So I had tons to write about.
No way.
And then I started organizing and hosting my own events.
All in like Jersey, New York area?
All in Jersey. Yeah. Especially at Rutgers. I had started this other band that I was in. So I was just super involved. Like, everybody thought I was in the music school because I was doing so much music outwardly. Like that was my thing and what I wanted. And then I started going into, then I got my job working in New Jersey and music was still super strong of a desire for me. And I was like, I have this thing in me. Like if I just like, I don't know, like if I just keep doing it, maybe something will happen.
Right.
And so I was teaching by day and by night, I was running around New York City to every studio, performance, networking, you name it. I was doing it.
So your early 20s, you're officially working now as a teacher.
Yeah.
And what grade were you?
I started in kindergarten. I did 6 months of that because I took over like a maternity leave position, a woman who was out for to have her baby. And then the next day I went from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
But that's like, exhausting, right? Like day and then rushing into the city.
God
and
bless teachers.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a lot. And so every hour that I wasn't teaching or that I didn't need to dedicate to that line of work that I was doing, I was dedicating to music. And I remember at my first year, I lived at home to save up money and my dad was home and he was like, what are you doing running around New York? Blah, blah, blah. What's your principal going to say? And I was like, Dad, don't worry. I've got glowing reviews. Like, I'm doing this. Like, trust me. I was like grading papers on the subway. Like, I was just doing everything that I possibly could. Because that was my passion. That's what I wanted to do. And then 3 years into it, there's budget cuts in New Jersey, and my school district has to cut like 30 teachers. So I still wasn't tenured yet. I was one of the younger ones. So we were the first to go.
Last in, first out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I lost my job, and it was one of those things where it was like so scary to hear. But then all the teachers that knew, you know, what I was doing. So at that point I started soft releasing some music online.
Okay. And what year are we talking now?
2018.
Okay, so I forget, you're so young. So 2018, this happens, you're releasing music, you're testing the market just
to
see.
Yeah, testing, and things are kind of like starting to bubble and starting to happen for me. And I wasn't incorporating Greek elements yet. I was just more singer-songwriter stuff. And I went and my co-teacher, who actually was my sixth grade teacher once upon a time, and then fast forward, we taught together, which was so cool. But she would always cover for me when I'd have like to skip school for something important. She'd be like, I got you, don't worry, go do your thing. Because when I first showed her my music, she was like, my love, I love teaching with you, but you're not going to be teaching for very long. Like, she called it.
She saw that.
She called it. And so then when I was laid off, she was like, it was like, now's your time to fly.
Blessing, yeah.
Like, go. And so that's what I did. And I decided to take it as a sign from the universe and an opportunity to not, like, I don't think I would have had the gusto to like quit.
Yes.
To leave the safety net.
Yeah, yeah.
But it kind of gave me an out. And I just didn't look for a new job. And
that's
I told
incredible.
My dad, I was like, you know, and by that point, my dad realized that, like, okay, she's got a thing going, because he came to one of the shows
and he saw
and he told me after. It was funny because it was a show deep in Brooklyn.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Like
Bed-Stuy deep?
Yeah, Bed-Stuy deep. And I was so excited because I finally booked this show. I like got a band and like this promoter reached out and I didn't know what I was doing. And it was so deep in Brooklyn, like scary deep, and there were skulls everywhere. It was like this dive bar. The stage was like the size of this box. Like, it was embarrassing. I was like, oh my God. And my dad's here. Like, my dad was fuming. He was like, where is my daughter performing? Like, what is she doing with her life? But then we performed, and where like for, you know, everybody before was like talking over everybody. Like, my dad didn't want that for me, but then there was something magical happened. And he felt it, and that space was like transformed. And he came up to me after the space with all the skulls and Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
And he was like, Evangelia, like, that was amazing. And you deserve to be on bigger and better stages.
Oh man, as a father, that like,
yeah,
that
it was
hits.
Like, which was crazy for me.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, I was always kind of fighting, you know, it was never intense fighting, but just kind of like comments of like, your work, hello, like, what are you doing? Don't go crazy over here. But he saw, and from that day he became like
on board.
I mean, my mom was always like, follow your dreams.
Yes.
And
mom
was like the more like American, like,
you need the yin to the yang,
she
right?
Was, like, they're definitely opposites. But then he became very, very supportive. And when this happened, I told him what I wanted to do, and at that point he's like, well, you know, give it a chance for a year, you could always go back, you have your master's, you have great reviews. It's not like you were bad, you know?
And that's all he wanted as a father. Like, get your education, have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy though, how if you didn't tear your ACL,
yeah,
right, you would have got some scholarship, you would have gone somewhere. And if you went there, probably every spare moment would have been with your team.
Have been doing
and
music.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And then you get laid off.
Yeah.
Right? Budget cuts. And then you're actually able to pursue this.
Exactly.
So that's how you get up to here, and then it works, you're doing the shows. Like, how do you go from there and then actually being signed by Sony Germany and now
Epic Records? So that all happens, and now it's like June, July, August, it's like the summertime, and I'm just full force. Whatever I couldn't do in those hours that I was teaching, now I'm like just doing even more. Like,
right.
I am out and about and networking, performing, everything I possibly can, writing. And a friend invites me to this show. He's like, my friend Stolar is doing a concert, and he wants New York singers to be like planted into the audience to surprise the audience and sing along to this one chorus and make it a moment. Are you free tonight? I was like, actually, and this was the one night I happened to be free, okay. Which is rare.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, I am free. And they sent me the song. I like learned the chorus and it was like this piano ballad. So I thought this guy just sang like piano ballads, but turns out that was just the piano ballad moment of the song.
Okay.
And then I walk in and it's this guy, he's like playing bass and he's singing like super soulfully. The band is amazing. And that's Jay Stolar, who's now the love of my life and my creative partner.
Jeez.
And so we meet that night and I remember asking my friend who brought me there, I was like, can you introduce us? Like, he was also, you know, known to be a really great songwriter and like known in the industry. I'd heard his name around. I was like, I'd love to meet him. And, he was like, I'm sure he'll introduce himself to you. And so we met and we, you know, there was definitely chemistry and
you knew
and
that
everything.
Night, like,
and I was like, ah, cause I was like, no, I really like him, but like also there's business potentially, like it was just messy or could be messy.
Yep.
But we decided like, let's explore this. And we avoided working together at first, but then it was just like, of course we're going to work together. Like it just was, there was no way not to, we're like, this will make or break us, but we can't not try. And so we tried and I told him I had the idea of incorporating Greek elements into my music, but any other producer or anybody else I'd ever brought it up to was like, I don't know about that. Or like, I don't think that's a good idea. Or like, they weren't the right person for it.
What was his reaction to that?
His reaction was like, yes, 1000%. He's like, you are always speaking Greek. You're Greek dancing. You're showing me this music. Like, it's a huge part of who you are.
Right.
It's not all of who you are, but it's a very, very big and important part of your life. Like us Greek Americans, honestly, being Greek is kind of part of our identity. Like it's like our personality. We're just like, no, we're always thinking about Greece. And like, I was the girl who like wouldn't swim in the Jersey Shore because I was like, I can't see my feet.
Exactly.
I can only do the Mediterranean Sea. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and the locals are like enough already.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'm just like, no, you don't understand.
You don't.
Like, I can't. So he was just like, this is what we should do and like hone in and zero in on it because that's also what's going to like now I was at a point where it wasn't just fun and games anymore. Right. I needed to find a way of how to be make amazing music that's both true to me and also can make me stand out.
Yes.
Like literally thinking from a marketing perspective, like there's so many people trying to do this, right? And so.
And was there a fourth? So you did three. The fourth one is to make this a business, right? Isn't that like the ultimate?
To make it a bit like you gotta like live off.
Gotta pay bills,
you know,
right?
Gotta pay bills.
Yeah.
So my dad, I don't know why I brought my dad up, but he loved that idea, obviously, when I told him the Greek stuff. But we like really zeroed in and we went into the studio and I made a whole Google Doc of like music that was inspiring to me. I showed Greek dances. I showed to Bedleki, to Jay and to other people that we would bring in to work on it with us. Like we bring in other songwriters and other producers and we'd bring them into our world. And we kind of wrote this like everything that we would make would have to be inspired from something on this document. And that's how we got Pame Pame, which was my first release.
Was that your first release?
That was my first release. And Diving were the first two singles that we felt, because there were a lot of songs, but those were the two that finally, because you have to write a lot to get to like what you're actually ready and want to release. And so we had those two songs that we felt were a great example of who I am now and what the identity that I want to put forth into the world. And Jay works closely with Allo Black, if you're familiar with him. He sings, like, wake me up when it's all over.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Iconic. Yes.
Yeah. So that was a song that he sang with Avicii. So he was very connected in like Europe and everything. And we kind of told him our ideas and he was like, you need to sign with a label in Europe and go to Germany. Like they have money. Honestly, you know, like they can do this. Don't go to Greece first, but go to Germany to be in Europe. And then also pay attention and nurture Greece because they're going to understand this.
Yes.
And grow there, grow in Europe, simultaneously do stuff in the US. But like, you know, the goal is international stardom, but like we're talking, this is a business podcast, right? So the thing was like, okay, let's like grow the apples in our own orchard. And then
great advice. Were you for it when he came up with
it
that?
It was scary for me, but yes. It was like, it made sense.
Yeah.
And we got connected to the CEO of Sony Germany, Patrick Mushatse Kereba, who's this amazing, amazing man. And he heard I had nothing going on. Nothing besides these two demos that we had to show for me. The fact that Jay had a history and is, great.
Yep.
And we were recommended from Aloe Black. But I had no social media, like nothing.
But you have a great personality, right? Like getting in the room.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, how do you even go about, do you physically go to Germany and meet with him? Like, how does that process?
He heard the demos and then he was just like, I want to sign this off the music.
2020?
2020. Yeah. It was like 2019. The conversation started and then February 2020, I fly to Berlin to sign my record deal.
February 2020.
End of February 2020.
Who's looking out for you up like, and then March.
End of February 2020. Like people were still not doing the mask thing.
On.
And we came back and we had all these plans for me to go to Europe to do like a radio tour for Pame Pame and like all this stuff. And obviously the world shut down.
That's
so
insane.
I released, luckily, this was a crazy person in me. We really believed in this music, right? And we knew that like, somebody's gonna bite. Like, we're gonna make this happen. Like, we were super determined to the point where I took out a credit card and I funded and produced and shot a whole music video. The Ba Me Ba music video, I shot it in my hometown.
Beautiful.
In Crete, in my Yaya's farmhouse. And I invited the whole village and we threw a little mini panihiri and we made this thing. Cause we knew that the visual would also help our case.
Absolutely.
To explain like, and I wanted that to be my first visual. So you see, this is where I'm from and this is why my music sounds like this. And Patrick loved that too. And, we were able to pay off that credit card.
That's amazing. That's
and
amazing.
So, and so we did that. And so I'm with Sony Germany, and then Panic Records represents Sony in the Greek region. So they were kind of representing me essentially in Greece.
Yeah.
And then, things are moving and, Eleni Fureira hears my song Fotia, which came out in English first. And she was like, I want to do this in Greek with you. And I was like, oh my God, let's do it in Greek.
Top five known artists in Greece,
yeah,
right? Out of Cyprus.
Yeah.
She's huge.
She's huge. And she got second place in Eurovision. So she's also like, people call her Queen of Europe.
Yes.
So,
she reached out to you.
Yeah.
So how does that even, she calls, she texts, like what
I
does
was,
she do?
I was in Greece for a music video for my song Onira. So this was like, Fotia came out in like October. This is fast forward July. July, whatever that year was, 2021. I can't remember.
Okay,
July 21. Must have been 21. Yeah. I don't know. It was the point where I could finally travel to Greece.
Yep.
So it was 21. And she came to the meeting because she signed to Panic Records as well. Cause I wanted to shoot this music video in Greece. So we reached out to Panic for help in producing it. And she came in and walked in and was just like, Fotia, nesta matia sou. And I was like, what? Like, my song. I'm a big fan of hers for years. Like every, my summer memories are attached to an Eleni Fureira song. So she sat down, she said such amazing things to me. She's like, I love your sound. I love what you're doing. I think you should go to Eurovision one day. Like I heard Fotia's. I was like, it just came on her playlist while she was like cooking or something in COVID. She's like, who is this girl and what is this song? Like, I want this song.
No way.
And then we did a duet in Greek and in Spanish.
So that must have been surreal for you.
It was crazy. And that changed a lot for me. We got to perform it on TV in Greece and like premiere and on like the Mad Walk. It got to be like number one on the radio and it was like been in the top 10 for like months. It still is on rotation and playing. So
it's an amazing song.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, my daughters have forced me in the beginning. I'm like, all right, let's listen to a couple. And then it sticks. And every morning on the way to school or to soccer or to whatever, it's like, our playlist is Let's Go MIA. Let's Go MIA.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my 2-year-old sings that song, right? It's just, it's awesome. And then once that beat drops, like we love it. Like
so
it's replaced Shakira's Waka Waka because that's been on repeat.
Wild.
Which is wild, right?
Big Shakira fan, so.
Right. So
sorry, Shakira.
Sorry, Shakira. We love you. She's on next week, so we're okay. Well, let me ask you. So that's a career highlight. You're blowing up in Greece, and then talk to me just while we're on this. We're going to get back to the business side.
Yeah.
Argyros.
Yeah.
Right. You start performing with him and Saki in Greece.
Yeah.
Right. And then let's talk from there to Barclays Center.
Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah. So I got asked to open for Argyros and Saki Rupa at the residence for to have a residency in Athens, which was not something I ever like thought about that I'd want. I never really had that in my head to do that.
Right.
I know a lot of the artists in Greece do it, but then I was asked and we saw who the artists are. And I was like, well, I might consider doing it for this because I had to move my life to Greece for 4 months.
Is that what it is? A residency is like 4 months there?
5, 6, 7. It can be
like the winter months they usually.
It's the winter months. So we, you know, weighed out the pros and cons and everything. And it was just like, all right, I'm moving to Greece for the next few months.
Come on.
And so it was really, really cool and very fun and an amazing experience as a performer to get the opportunity to perform for 2,000 people every Friday and Saturday night. Like, you don't really get that opportunity here in the US as a developing artist at my level, you know? And so I got to do that and I saw it as kind of like my boot camp training for like my own touring and everything.
Totally.
And so I was like getting ready to do my own tour in the spring. So then I felt ready, you know, to like come out and perform. And, you know, we developed that relationship and then Argyros announced that he was coming to the US.
Huge tour.
I'm the Greek American girl. I'm already here. So it just kind of was a good fit, I think, for them. And I was super honored and grateful to have been asked to come along for that ride.
So they asked you like after that.
Yeah.
So let me ask you before we talk Barclays, you did a 5-month residency. The first time you performed on your first Friday night in front of these Greeks, flowers coming at you, all this stuff. To your last performance in that 5-month residency.
Big difference.
Like, were you learning every Friday, Saturday? And
yes.
And just trying?
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was a big difference.
Okay.
Big difference from the first time. That time, I was nervous, the first one, because it's not like a regular concert. It's a club.
Yes.
And you have their tables, and they're there with their pareja and their friends. It's still a show and a performance, but it's just a different experience. So you have to, like, I saw it as a challenge every day to, like, make eye contact with as many people as I could to, like, bring them in and, like, keep them with me.
Who weren't like this on their phones?
Who weren't on their phones or not, like, talking and waiting for their friends.
Right.
Like, it's a, and as an opener, that's something you have to deal with, that challenge, you know? So, but my performance from the beginning to the end was definitely, I felt way more confident. I just felt so good.
Right.
And
right.
I was like loving it and having so much fun.
Well, and that's a crash course. Like imagine.
It was a crash course.
Right. Imagine any other, like if you went to a Justin Timberlake concert and imagine he's performing and then hundreds of flowers just get shot at his face. Like, could you, there's nothing like Greek concert. So let me ask you.
It's really crazy.
You always see videos go viral of some Greek performer on stage and the guys are just throwing flowers in their face.
In their face, yeah.
Like, how was that the first time they throw them at? Is there a
polite
way?
I luckily never got hit in the face with it. But there was one time where, there's a video of this too. I can like share it with you and link it after. But I was wearing a stiletto heel. So it was like really thin. And lately what they do in Greece, I don't like this. I liked when it used to just be flowers, but now they're throwing the trays with the flowers.
Right. Styrofoam.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I get it. Like you want to show macho, like look at this big pile.
That's
but
exactly.
To me, it looks like trash. Like I just don't like it. I wish it was just flowers.
Yep.
But anyway, but they're throwing these trays and the flowers. And, I'm also dancing on stage. So it's hard for me when there's a bunch of stuff everywhere. But my heel caught into the styrofoam tray. So the styrofoam tray is now like a part of my shoe. And I'm like doing this like turn, zebetiko, and like I see it. But then I like grabbed it on the beat and then I threw it down.
There
and
you
I
go.
Kept going. And I was like,
that was good.
It was so fun. And people who were like with me in that moment were like
That's
cracking
good.
Up because it was just like, gotta do it, I gotta
do it.
Hey,
we did it.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's funny though. Yeah, you see, so is there a rude way to throw them? like a disrespectful way?
I think if you're like truly aiming for their face, like we're trying to sing here.
Right.
It's like an honor and we're grateful when you throw flowers, but also, you know, don't throw them at our face.
Wouldn't it be better to throw dollar bills or bills?
I mean, I would love that, especially like if I could keep them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like you're throwing flowers at them, they recycle and the gypsies are reselling. I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
It's a thing and you don't get it until you go.
Totally.
You have to be there.
Totally. So then New York City, Adidas on his own, if we talk about him for a second, like that's just a big deal to have Barclays Center as a venue, right?
Yeah.
13,000 people is what I read.
Yeah.
He asks you, you're from the tri-state.
Yeah.
So to be able to go to Barclays and MSG, like they're the spots.
It was wild.
Walk me through that day, like the day before, just walk us through that because that's.
Yeah, like leading up to it. I remember being like, I can't believe I'm going to play Barclays Center. I was telling my friends and everybody. And like the day I got to announce that I got to be a part of that tour and the types of venues we were playing made me feel so proud to be Greek American. So proud of Argyro.
Right.
You know, he's a superstar, but that's a big thing. Like no Greek artist previously has played that kind of venue. And especially in the type of city like New York City, like you're playing Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's amazing. And I felt just really proud that it was even happening. And then, you know, leading up, it was just rehearsals, finding the perfect outfit, like, you know.
Do you have a crew? Sure. Do you have like a stylist crew?
Yeah, I have a stylist. I have friends that are designers. A close friend actually from Jersey, Sammy Rosario, she made my outfit.
She did.
From scratch. She designed it. And I had my dancers who were on my tour with me. It was so cool for me because I got to work with my team because the only other times I've performed with Argyro was in Greece. So I now have like a team there, but it was like, okay, this is my home base.
It's your camp, yeah.
This is like my people are here.
Yep.
And so it was really, really special. And like when we were doing sound check and I was just like looking out into what was about to be filled with all these people, it was so surreal. I was like, I can't believe I'm going to sing here. And I danced Pedrozzali.
Listen, I saw the footage. I wasn't there.
So
like,
fun.
Pretty amazing.
It was so fun.
How do you even calm nerves like when you're out there? Is it 2,000 or 12,000? Do you care?
You know, I don't.
No.
And it's kind of different now. Now that I have like a lot of performances under my belt and I've gotten to perform in stadiums before with Eleni Fureira, we've done our song. So it just kind of... In some ways, the more intimate shows are even harder because everybody's there, like, and close to you, and like, you see them seeing you.
Right.
When I was on the stage at Barclays, there's a lot of lights. So I couldn't really see that much, to be honest. And I was just like there doing my thing. But when I could see.
Right.
It was really epic.
Yeah, it was epic.
It was epic. And like, I did this cover of, Empire State of Mind.
Yes.
And I did my thing of like blending Greek, like rewrote some of Jay-Z's verse and made it Greek.
Oh, it was
and
awesome.
All About
I heard
Me.
That. Yeah, it was so cool.
It was so fun. And doing that in Barclays Center was probably like the highlight for me. Like singing, that song is so inspiring.
That's like the national anthem now.
And to get to do it in, like my way and for that group of people was so freaking cool.
So cool.
It was so cool.
That's pushed out the Frank Sinatra New York, New York. Like that's become the anthem, right?
It's the anthem.
So let me ask you, can you even get that on Spotify? Can you put that track or is there copyright laws?
I haven't thought about it. There's probably some sort of way to do it, but I think we'd have to figure out because I change the lyrics to Greek. I think it's not just a cover anymore.
Okay.
So,
It's badass.
But you can find it on all my socials.
Yeah.
I have the videos, but yeah.
So
I was pumped about that one.
No, are you kidding me? So that's been your pinnacle. Obviously, there's going to be more in your climbing, but like to date, that's been your biggest show.
Performance, yeah. What was cool about it is like, it wasn't just me, like I was saying, performing one song. Like I got to do a full, like a 25 to, I think it was like a 30 minute set. So I got to really show who I am. And to get to show who I am in a place like that.
Yeah.
Was so cool.
You can't.
It was so cool. And then after when Argyro went on and I was like just, you know, backstage and just looking at the crowd and how happy I was just like, Greek America is here.
Yeah. It's incredible.
We are here.
They're filling up stadiums.
So amazing. It was so special.
Oh, you should be so proud. Everyone's like proud to see that as well.
Yeah.
You know, like that incredible. Talk to me just about, you said your camp and your team, right? You're in an industry from the outside looking in, there's a lot of positive, but there's also dark sides to this business, right? And again, being on the outside, not knowing, I feel like there's so many sleazy people, there's opportunists, there's people trying to take advantage. Everyone thinks they know someone and they're trying to get their hands in your pocket. So now that your fame is increasing, right? How do you, like, even having like boyfriend, right? Mm-hmm. Who's, you guys, sounds like an amazing guy and he's helping you grow and you're mm-hmm. helping each other. Mm-hmm. You have that. That's like your safe zone. Then you have your family. Then you have friends. Then you have other people that are just trying to make money off you. How do you navigate that?
Well, if your close circle, the people, like your people, if you have a strong relationship with your people and you got that care about you, then it just makes everything easier, to be honest. Because it's like, I feel so blessed and so lucky to get to work with my partner, with my boyfriend, because, and it's been over 5 years now, like since 2018, right? Yeah. That we've been like at this and growing. But on the one, you're like, how do you balance also working with your, you know, and it is a balance. And it's of course, like you have to, you know, set boundaries and everything, but it's like, it's my person that cares about me more than anybody else. And not just about the music and not just, they care about me as a human and what's going to be best for me. So the people that I bring close and like let in, like that come onto my management team, even that join my social media team or whatever, like those are like my close people that I really trust. And you just kind of vet everybody. Right. You just have to vet everybody.
Everyone has an agenda, fortunately, unfortunately. Yeah. Everyone has some sort of
and
angle.
You just kind of see like, how can we all benefit?
Right. That's true.
And grow at the end of the day, you know?
Like, that's a good way to look at it.
It's always an exchange, but it doesn't mean it has to be bad.
Absolutely. So strong business person, you're a business person. When you're working a full-time teaching job and then hustling in the street, like you grind, right?
Yeah.
As a woman, as a man, if I was in the space, it's easy to have kids. If I wanted to have mm-hmm, a family, mm-hmm. have a kid, nothing changes physically. You just go. As a woman, mm-hmm. early 30s, right? Like down the road, do you want kids? What's that going to look like for career?
I do want kids. Okay. I want kids. What I love is that there's so many amazing pop star international women that are having kids and still being hot and awesome. Right. Look at Beyonce. Look at Rihanna. Look at Fureira. Just had a baby and she's had her best year yet. She was on the cover of Vogue pregnant. Like for me, it's like I have certain things I want to accomplish before having, like when I have kids, I want to be like really, really ready.
Yeah.
And be very established in my career where it's like, yeah, I can have kids or like, when I have, maybe we'll go back to this interview if it happens, but I would like one day when I do have kids, I'm at the point where it's like, then I'm on the cover of Vogue.
Yes.
And can do a beautiful like pregnancy shoot. That's high fashion. Like that's my dream, you know?
Amazing.
And to just show that like, it doesn't have to take away. Like right now I'm super in like the building stages. Like it would be a lot to have kids and a family right now. And it's just not the time, but in a few years, it can be the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're going to balance it, right?
Yeah. And I would balance it and just, you know, I'd go and bring the kid on tour, like, or just not tour as much. Like I'd have help, you know, there's all sorts of,
absolutely,
all sorts of ways to do it right and still be there.
Yeah. So that's great. Let me ask you, when you do a show like Barclays or you're doing an FDF or you're doing your tour, we're going to talk about coming up, your national North American tour, aside from finances, how do you measure like it was a successful event? Like, is it social media bumps? Is it streams? Like what metrics does your camp come back with and say, hey, this was good or it wasn't?
It's everything. There's so many different things. It's great if there's a social media bump or more money is coming in. Money's always great. Money helps you going, you know, money's great. There's the social media metrics. There's, of course, the money. Sometimes it's also just about building awareness and building community. And sometimes it's just like what you feel. So like when I was at FDF, I loved that I got to meet so many people face to face and create like an opportunity for a genuine connection right. that you don't always get to have. So I don't know, like, whether or not that, like, crazily bumped, like, numbers, you don't really know, but it's also, like, you get this feeling.
Right.
And I think it's, like, a mix between numbers and the feeling, you know? Like, for me, when I played Barclays Center, like, that feeling was enough.
It's a high, right?
It's enough.
Yeah.
You know?
So you didn't see the bump of 100,000 additional plays from Let's Go MIA just from me listening?
Probably. I try to, like, stay kind of away from the numbers.
Yep.
Because sometimes it can cloud my art and, yes. like, what I'm doing. So if I'm paying too much attention sometimes to, like, to the numbers, that's why I bring on, like, a social media team or other people who can, like, analyze it and can, like, tell me about it. But this way I can, like, feel good about what I'm putting out. And yeah. then I just kind of don't pay that much attention.
Gotcha.
I kind of, like, let the other people, but I do pay attention. I guess what I'm saying is I don't put as heavy of a weight on it.
So you don't get consumed by it, right?
Exactly. Because it's very possible to get very consumed Absolutely. By numbers and then go into comparing and all of this stuff. And it can be a dark rabbit hole.
Yes.
That I have gone down in the past. And I've been kind of learning different ways to navigate that to not go down that.
Yeah. And there's no overnight with anything, right? Building a business, whatever. Everyone thinks, like, instant, overnight.
No,
it's like, nope.
It's very hard work.
Yeah. You've been at this
very hard work.
Since high school, right? To get
yeah.
here. You're not
yeah,
an
really.
Overnight sensation or whatever.
No.
Just because people are being aware of it, you're grinding. You're in the streets. You're meeting people. Like,
yeah.
it's a grind. Without getting into your financials, obviously,
yeah.
Does this support? Like, is this yeah. a job? It supports a lifestyle.
Supports a lifestyle, thank God, like the live performances. And now I also launched a jewelry line.
Leah, talk about that.
Yes. So Leah by Evangelia. These are two of the rings,
Beautiful.
Actually.
We'll put everything up on the screen, too.
Yes. Thank you. I always looked up to artists like Rihanna, like I brought up J-Lo, to like these artists that have their brands and their music, but also have other adjacent brands with their interests and what they like. And I love fashion. I love jewelry. I love also doing things that show, again, my culture. So for me, it just felt right that the first extension outside of music and creating a brand would be handmade Greek jewelry. And so the first launch, we do like limited drops. First launch was in November. We sold it out. I made a special launch for FDF.
I saw it. Yes. Okay.
And, but.
So what inspired
really cool.
this? You're creative, right?
Yeah.
To be able to write hits that are getting people don't, it's not a few thousand views. We're talking millions and millions of downloads. Like that's your creativity with you and your team coming up with these songs.
Yeah.
So you're obviously creative and now you're getting into the jewelry side, which expresses like,
yeah.
is what made you want to do this?
I love, for me, every summer was looking forward to Greek dancing at the Spanigiria and also going to the streets where all the jewelry, handmade jewelry people
right.
were that just would have their like suitcase open
yep.
and they're sitting there making the stuff on the side and it's all amazing
yes.
and beautiful. And I would always come back every summer back to the US and in school wearing handmade Greek jewelry. And everybody would ask me, where is this jewelry from? Like, where did you get that? And I'd be like, oh, it's handmade by this guy in Greece. And I'm like, ah, well, I can't get that. That's not
right.
helpful, you know? And then when it came time with my, so that was just in my regular everyday life. But then when it came time to think about my image as an artist and everything, jewelry is really important to me. And I love always wearing jewelry and it's
right.
a way to express myself. And if I can, and if it's going to be, if I can get it to be jewelry from Greece and rock different designers from Greece, especially if they're handmade, like that's my favorite thing. So it was always just, it was just something I was super passionate about pre-music. So it just kind of made sense. And I love evil eyes. I love snakes. I'm really inspired by, ancient Greek art. And, so the ring is like inspired by like, evil eye and a snake without being an evil eye and a snake.
I got you.
That makes sense.
And they're beautiful. So do you actually design these? You're part of that whole process.
Yes.
And then are they made in the States or?
So they're made in Greece.
They're made in Greece.
They're made in Greece.
Let's
by
go.
This jeweler that I know very well, close friends that they've become. And
in Crete?
In Athens.
In Athens. Okay.
In Athens. Yeah. So we came up with a design and, one of my close friends and Jay are like my co-founders with it. So I don't do everything by myself, but the design really came from me and inspired. And we talked to them and, you know, showed them what we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And they brought it to life.
So then Leah Collections, mm-hmm. is that what it's called? Website is?
It's leahbyevangelia.com.
Leahbyevangelia.com.
So you have to stay tuned because right now we're sold out of the first drop. So you have to stay tuned for drop 222. Coming.
222.
Yeah. So they're all like drop 11. It was drop 111. This is drop 222. I love angel numbers.
Okay.
I very much believe in like synchronicities and signs and all of that.
You're a Greek
woman. I'm a Greek woman. So, drop 222 is going to come sometime 2024 with a new design and it'll again will be a limited collection. So it'll
online?
Be available. Yeah. It'll be available online, but I'm going to make a special drop for the tour too.
Amazing, which leads into, so you have a Greek summer tour here in the US and in Canada.
Yes.
Before we even talk about that, so you've performed internationally. Let's just talk about your international footprint.
Yeah.
Like how many different countries have you?
Last year I toured Australia, which was really cool.
Wow.
We did three cities. We did Perth, Sydney, and Melbourne.
Okay.
I've done...
Melbourne must have been insane.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was really...
700,000 Greeks there.
Yeah, it was crazy. Melbourne was crazy. Sydney was nuts, though, too. Sydney, we played the Ivy, which was like a huge club there. It was wild.
No
way. I was
like,
wow, I got to come back to Australia. This is great.
And you were headlining these tours?
Yes.
And were you... Did you have local talent there opening up for you?
Yeah. So it was these promoters out there, they're called Olympus. They reached out about having me come and be like the headline performer at their event.
Amazing.
And so we did these events, but they were like the, especially the show that they did in Sydney was kind of like at FDF where they had the cameras and like the screens. And I didn't even realize there were going to be screens until I turned around and was like doing my thing. And then I saw the screen behind me. I was like, oh, that's me right
that's
now.
Me, right,
like,
right. And then you stopped the show and you're like,
so
whoa.
Funny. I was like, wow. Like, it was really cool. It was just, that was my first time doing a show like as a headliner with that big of a production, which was really cool.
That's a big deal getting out there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And to get to go to Australia this early in my career was really, a lot of artists, it's just far.
Yeah.
It's far. So it worked out for me to go there, which was really cool.
Amazing.
We played South Africa. I did with Arguiros.
Where did you do?
Cape Town? Johannesburg.
Wow.
In October. Done Cyprus, Greece, done all over the US and Canada.
Yeah. Don't forget my Canada. Eh?
Where else? Yes, of course. Where else have I done?
That's great.
London.
Okay.
Did the UK.
Germany? Have you done Germany yet?
I've done a showcase in Germany.
Okay.
I haven't done like an open show yet there, but I'm looking forward to it.
That's pretty amazing. So now this tour, how does this... This is your baby.
This
it's the Greek
baby.
Summer tour.
Yeah.
You're performing in a dozen. I had the list here, but my daughter took your autograph.
Yeah, she took the autograph.
Left.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're doing 12 shows. And it's called Feels Like Greek Summer because it's not quite Greek summer yet. But we're pre-gaming. We're getting ready to go to Greece. And basically, I'm kind of building this experience. I want people to come to the show to feel this, like, if you have been, you've been to Greece in the summer.
I'm there four times
You're
a year.
You're there four times a year, right? Yeah. So Greece in the summer, there's nothing quite like it. It's just so, like, free and everybody just wants to have a good time and, like, party. And the energy is, like, through the roof and just... It's beautiful. It's just this energy. You can't explain it unless you're there.
Yep.
So we're going to do our best to make it feel like Greek summer.
Amazing.
So it's going to be, when you come to the show, it's going to be an experience where it feels like Greek summer and I'm going to bring you into my world.
That's amazing. And so have you been involved in masterminding this? So you're working with a promotion company and.
Yeah, my booking agent, promotion company, and now like my choreographer and dancers, the designers that are going to make the outfits, what kinds of experiences we might have for the fans. Like, we're working on getting a not positive this is going to be the color, but most likely like a blue carpet, and create like a red carpet
Love
type
it.
Experience for the fans to have when
Love
they come,
it.
Like have people dress up. Like, we might make it like dress up for Greek summer. So like in their like white linen and everything.
Guys just show up,
guys,
shirts
show
off
up.
And their,
yeah, that's
yeah,
fine.
And
whatever.
Their Speedos.
Yeah, whatever. Just show up. So it's going to be like, more than just like coming for the show. Like, you're coming for the experience and the energy.
That's incredible. And are you going to be able to sell like your shirts and stuff there, mm-hmm, as well? Okay, because I know,
yeah,
we were looking online too.
Yeah,
we're like, all
right. Yeah, so we're gonna have I'm gonna definitely have t-shirts and merch on sale, and we're gonna have a special Leah drop for the rings that'll only be available on the tour. So there'll be a lot of special perks for everybody.
Amazing.
That comes out. Yeah.
And let me ask you, do you find local talent to open for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one, so I'm from Toronto, so I'm excited for Toronto. I hope you guys have a great showing there, because it's,
thank you,
it's just a great
thank
city.
You. Just call your family. How many people are in your family?
Oh, 122 between.
Perfect.
Close.
All right, it's sold out.
What's
it's
the
easy.
Venue in Toronto?
Just tell them. It's called the Dance Cave, I think.
I'm not familiar.
It's
maybe
like 200 or 300.
Okay.
So yeah, halfway there.
It should be line up out the door.
Halfway there.
Exactly.
We got your whole family. We're done.
Toronto, we're going to get everyone out. So when you work, like, who do you find? So I know Seattle, we have a local family friend here, Nasi, who's going to open, or he's going to perform there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just cool that you're giving these younger artists who have basically no, I'm not going to say no presence, but they're local. But you're giving them a platform now to see that. Like, that's just awesome. Like,
thanks.
How much are you involved in even?
I'm involved in like the asking around process. And I didn't know Nasi before, but I did meet him after the Arguido show at the Dolby here in LA. I met him and his mom, and they were so sweet.
Yeah. Nina,
and
shout out. She's awesome.
She's awesome. She's a good manager for him.
She's a momager.
She got him on the show. But like, but he deserves it.
Yep.
But you know, they sent me and my team like some footage of him performing and some of his music, and he's great. And
he's actually working on the show intro for this podcast. He's working on a little hook for
amazing.
It.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. He's a great kid. I love Nina, and it's just, I want people with good energy and a good vibe. And especially if they're local, and then their local people come out, and it's just everybody wins.
Absolutely.
Everybody wins. So I'm definitely going to try and have some local talent in each city.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
So part of this, and I know you've been amazing with your time, and I thank you. I want a couple more things, and then I'm going to bring my two daughters that skip school to come meet you today. And they're going to come ask you a few questions. It's going to be odd. They're so excited.
They're your little interns.
The interns. But my 8-year-old was like, she touched my hand in the crowd. I'm like, she's coming.
So cute.
Let's talk about advice. Right, you've been given advice through your whole life. You've learned. So someone that's sitting there today that thinks, she did it, I can do it, right? What advice would you give a young girl or boy listening to this, where it's like, I too want to be a singer, like unfiltered, the real life advice? Like, what could you share?
I would say to do it as much as you can, whenever you can. So even for me, it was just like what I did. Yes, I had my job and that was important to me, but like, and all the other hours that I could possibly dedicate to it, I dedicated to it. And then from doing that and like networking as much as possible, definitely nowadays, like social media, like posting your talent and what you want on social media and sharing it, it might not hit the first, second, or even after the 100th video, but maybe that 220th video, somebody sees it, and you know, you just don't know how the universe is going to work. So just really put yourself out there as much as you can and forget about the cringe. Like, you just got to do it. Like for me, when I released Fotia, I remember I was kind of bummed with the numbers, and this was when I was like not in the best headspace, honestly, and I remember being bummed about it. But little did I know that like a few months later, Eleni Fureira actually, it came up for her on her YouTube. And then months later, she would like ask me to do a duet version of it. And then a full year after it came out, we did a whole new version of it that then brought light, more life into this song that deserved this life. But I didn't know how it was going to happen. You know, like the universe and just the world works in funny ways. And so if you just keep at it and you keep going and you stay diligent, things will happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You might not know how, but just
that's great.
Stay determined. That's literally it, because it's very easy to give up.
Yeah, and I think that's phenomenal advice. And you got nervous at that open mic or whatever, and you walked out, right? Maybe you didn't have the right person next to you to say, no, let's do this. Then you did the band and you cracked. You had a team to help you and like, let's go back and do our own concert, right?
Yeah.
So you've had that support. I think, you know, a lot of these kids that are sitting there by themselves may not have that support network, but it's good. Like, you should know that you're touching young people. Like, they're seeing this. Like, it's a big deal, which also, now that I have young daughters, how do you balance growing your career and not, and being perceived a certain way while, you know, you have these young girls, like, just following you? Mm-hmm. Like, is it hard to navigate that, or is it, you do what you do and... Do you know what I'm trying to ask?
I think I know what you're trying to ask. I think it's kind of like you do what you do. You have to obviously, you know, be aware, but you also hope that the parents or whatever are also like are parenting. You know what I mean? So like maybe like, I don't know, like I'm a woman, right? So there's some stuff or some, maybe some content, some songs, like Diving, for example, has a curse word. It's not, it's PG-13. You know what I mean? But you know, it's kind of like, just because there's kids, I think I saw an interview around and said, she's like, it's not my job to be the role model. I'm aware. And of course I care about it, but I'm also like my own woman and my own artist. And as an adult, I'm going to do what expresses me and my art. And, you know,
there's always going to be haters. There's always going to be critics.
There's
There's
always going to be critics. Totally. And that was hard to get used to at first, but You just gotta do you, because at the end of the day, like, one day I'm gonna be old and sitting in a wheelchair. Well, I wish I like didn't do me.
Yeah, 100%. And you get one shot at this, right? We get one shot.
Yeah, you get one shot. And I'd also want, like, say, like a young girl sings, like, oh, that's an independent woman doing what she wants to do. That's great.
Absolutely.
You know?
And if you're inspiring people along the way, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. So let me ask you. Being too accessible, right? Like you're growing, you're trying to stimulate and get new fans and followers. Like that's part of the business.
Of course.
But how much is it, I was nice and then these people are taking advantage of me or they're overstepping. Like how do you balance that? And then what are some for the people listening, what are some things where it's just, don't do this, just show respect, right? If you're out with someone, like just don't do this.
The one thing that's hard. Well, I always appreciate when I meet fans and I want to give as much time as I can. And like, I'm grateful if anybody asks to take a picture, I really try and like do that. What's hard is like when they're like, follow me back or something like that. I would say like, just don't do that.
A 45-year-old man.
It's just don't do that. Like, you know, like why? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like,
but that's kind of like the only thing, but, you know, it comes with the territory.
Yep.
And it can be exhausting when it's a lot of people, or like after my shows, like I will go and stand at the merch with me, every possible person that I can, which is a different experience from, you know, we have the VIP experience, which is a limited amount of people. So it's like, there's more time to breathe and to really talk. But then when there's like the line of people, it could be tired. A lot of artists just go to bed. Yes. And I understand, because you're tired after a show. But to me, it really is important to meet every single possible person that I can, because I really am very grateful and I'm very appreciative, because without them caring and listening and coming out, like I can't do what I do.
Exactly.
And so I always do my best to, you know, be as accessible in that way as possible, in person, especially people come to shows. But then it's just about the team around you to like, to protect you. So there's some stuff where it's just like, hey, like, reach out. I mean, even like with this podcast, right? I was just like, oh, I'm super down, but like, hit up my manager about it. Don't make it happen.
Who's awesome, by the way. Eleni's like,
Eleni's awesome, you know? Yeah. And this way, that also clears my head from not having to think about
totally
that type of stuff and the logistics, and I can focus on.
Because you're creative. Yeah, yeah. You have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
That's great advice. And then back to the parenting thing, it's like, even with my daughters, hey, wait in line, right? When we first met you, Dina's like, okay, just have them stay. I'm like, girls, wait. She's busy. If she can, great. Like, it comes down to parenting. A lot of people just try to not box on it. You know, like people, like they're still people, right? And we're trying to get everything we can.
We're all just people. We're just people just trying to make our way in the world just as much.
Absolutely. You know? Is there anything, and then social media you touched upon, so that was great. And then one thing I just want to make sure the listeners know, and we touched upon it, you write your own songs.
Yes.
Like, that's a big deal. Like, these are hits. You're not just someone else's, and they're giving you a script and you're just reading. You're writing these with.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super involved in the whole process. So me and Jay are co-writing everything. He's executive producing. I have a close, co-producer that we work with, Jordan Palmer, and then a lot of close friends who are doing, it's really cool because I've been growing a lot with my peers. So where we started, a lot of my friends in New York that I was writing with now have all moved to LA and we're all here and they're doing crazy things. Like, one of my friends, Jay Bach, who wrote with us for, my song Aphrodite, he just got a Grammy for some music that he wrote. Like,
kind of a big deal.
my friends that wrote Pame Pame with me, Lars and Ali, now they have like one of the biggest Eurovision songs. They wrote Snap. And it's just really cool to come up with a crew and to be growing with a crew. And like, they all came to that Gyros concert. My friends Lars and Ali, they came to Greece and saw me perform and got to experience this stuff. Yeah. So it's been really cool and special to bring in really talented friends into my world, and to create together and like grow together.
Absolutely.
You know, like they were with me that, you know, signed on to write like a crazy idea of a Pame Pame with Buzuki. Like, what is this? You know, they don't know. And we wrote that song in a studio in New York City.
And hit it. Yeah.
And then they got to see it at the Dolby Theater.
That's crazy.
Years later, you know,
that's insane. You touched upon. So for us, I want to, like, closing remarks, Eurovision. Mm. I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but I feel like you're the perfect candidate, your genre, your style. Like, you could go into your existing catalog and pick 5 songs probably that you could perform. Aspirations?
I would love to.
Okay.
I would love to. You know, growing up between Greece and the US, I was always in Greece in the summers. So the Eurovision craziness would always kind of blow over and it wasn't so big here. Like, we didn't really pay attention to
your average American or Canadian.
Average
does not
American
know.
Doesn't really know. They're starting to know. It's okay. Starting, especially from the movie Will Ferrell did. Some of the bands lately, there's been some success, some crossover success from Eurovision. So people are starting to kind of know and pay more attention. But I only really cared when Elena Paparizou won 2003 or 2004, I don't really remember, but
that's
so proud. I was so proud of that.
She won that as a solo, not with Antique.
Yeah,
right?
She won that as a solo. And so for me, when I first released Pame Pame and really got into stuff with Sony and even in Greece, Eurovision wasn't, I didn't even think about it.
Right.
But then all the comments on my social media and on these videos and my music was like, she needs to go to Eurovision, Eurovision, totally. Eurovision, Eurovision. I was like, interesting. I hadn't thought of that, to be honest. And then I kind of looked into it more and it really was my fans that put the idea in our heads, and made me really want to do it. And then I kind of looked into it more and I was like, oh my God, this would be so amazing. And I would be so proud to go and represent our culture on an international stage like that.
It's like a political, it's everything.
It's amazing. It's the craziest contest in the world.
Okay.
And I would love to.
Hold on, I'm going to call Mitsotaki after this and we're going to pull some
strings
here. Are you kidding me?
Let's make it happen. You know, I'm ready.
Dude, you're awesome. Is there anything else that you want to cover before we go, because you've been so awesome. You're
thanks.
Yeah, you have great energy.
I feel like we covered pretty much everything. The tour is big, which is great.
Huge. Kickoff date is covered. Oh yeah. May.
Kickoff date is May 8th.
In
Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah. Okay. In Dallas, we're doing, let me see if I can remember it.
Yeah.
We're hitting Dallas, Chicago, Toronto, Montreal, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, LA, Phoenix, Arizona, Seattle.
11 cities.
Oh, that was that 11? I must have missed one then. There's 12.
Counting wasn't really my thing. Maybe it was 12.
There's 12. It might have been 12, but I think I got most of them. I'm sorry if you're the city that's missing, but he'll put a graphic or something.
Yeah, we will. We'll put all that up.
But yeah, so it's my biggest stretch of a headlining tour, and I'm just so excited to do it. And I'm hoping to see everybody, especially that was at FDF. That energy,
oh my gosh,
was crazy. And to say earlier, it was so funny because I didn't realize they were going to split the room between 21 and under 21. And I got out there, I was like, something's different about this side of the room.
Right. And the like screaming
the
kids.
And like the teenagers and stuff. Oh. I was just like, oh. And a lot of the shows are all ages. So I'm just really, really excited to be able to offer the show to all ages, and to just have, that's like the Greek way. You go to a panigiri, you go to a gledi, you got like the kids and the yayas, like we're all and every age in between.
Totally. And they want to sleep, you put the three chairs together and you lay them
like
out.
That's
and
just kind of, that's what I want.
Absolutely.
So I just want everybody's welcome, yaya, papu, the kids, like bring them all. We're going to have a good time.
We're going to be here in LA for sure, and maybe Toronto.
Amazing.
That's for sure.
Amazing.
You're
Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you so much
Thank
for your
you.
Time. Eh?
Thank you.
To wrap up this podcast, I have two of my three daughters here to ask Evangelia some questions. Dimitra and Viviana Strubulis skipped school today to be here. Got flowers, desserts, wrote notes, especially for Evangelia. So they're very excited to ask questions. So first up, we have Dimitra. Take it away.
So my name is Dimitra Strubulis.
Nice to meet you.
You too. And I was wondering what made you want to be a singer?
So I always had this dream of being a singer. You're in third grade, right?
Yeah.
So there's a picture of me in third grade where it's in the yearbook and everybody got to write what they wanted to be when they grew up. And there's this picture of me exactly your age, and underneath it says Evangelia Psaraki, singer. And I actually had forgotten about that. I knew I always wanted to, but then I rediscovered that photo when a friend of mine found this yearbook and she sent it to me years later when I actually became a singer and I followed through on that dream. And she was like, third grade Evangelia, always knew. And for me, singing is just something I've always loved and found so enjoyable.
Aww.
And it's really, really special that I get to do it now and get to share my music with you.
Yeah. How long do music videos take you to do?
It depends on the video, but they are a lot of work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time preparing for the video. So you have to think of what is actually going to happen and what are the colors going to be and what are the outfits that you're going to wear? Is there going to be choreography? Then you have to learn a whole dance and decide how it's going to be filmed and how many camera angles, what kind of camera, how do you want the edit to be? There's so many factors that go into creating a visual like that. So they definitely take time. They can be done quickly if you work very fast, but the best is having at least a month ahead of time to plan. And then that way, the day you go, if you have a strong plan, then the day you go to film it, everything goes as smoothly as possible.
Wow.
And something will always not go according to plan.
Yeah.
Anytime you go to film something. it makes you be the most prepared for anything. And then you got to edit it. So then you need like another week or two to make sure the edit's right. And then it's ready to come out.
Yeah. And just saying, when I was at your concert and you got to touch my hand, it made me feel good.
Oh,
like it made me feel happy.
I'm so happy to hear that. That means a lot to me. I can't wait to do that again and again.
Yeah.
You're going to come on tour, right?
Yeah. And last thing is that you're way better than Taylor Swift and all those other singers.
I appreciate the sentiment. I will take it, but they're amazing also. And they're everybody's just different and good in their own way. But I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And next up, we have Viviana Strubuli asking her special questions for Evangelia.
My name is Viviana Strubuli.
It's so nice to meet you. I'm Evangelia.
Are you nervous when you get on stage?
So I like to change the word from nervous to excitement, because yes, I do feel I feel this like tingling sensation, but it's not that I'm scared to go on stage. It's that I'm excited to go on stage and I'm anticipating it. So yes.
Do you have fun when you're on stage?
I have so much fun when I'm on stage.
What's your favorite song that you've seen?
My favorite song? That's a difficult question. But I would say my favorite one is Fotia. I love saying Fotia na stamatia su.
Do you like filming the songs?
Do I like filming the songs?
Yeah.
Making music videos?
Yeah.
I love making music videos. Making music videos is one of my, and visuals in general, is one of my favorite parts of this job, because it's not just what you hear, it's also what you see. And I get to be creative and play dress up and pick out outfits and learn dances. I love to make videos.
Viviana, good. What do we want to say to Viviana?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Great job. She had those questions memorized and ready to go.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Invigorate Your Business with George Strombolis. Please hit the subscribe and like buttons and follow me on all the main podcast streaming channels. Also, please share your comments when you can. I appreciate your help in expanding this network to a worldwide audience. Until next time, stay invigorated.